Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And today we continue in our great study through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you're with us. This is Session 5, and if you've missed any weeks so far, you can catch up or review them at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are added into the archive each week, and it's there for you anytime you choose. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. But now it's time to get into today's study, and here to do that is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul, when he met with the elders at of Ephesus, it wasn't at Ephesus, but at another location, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and here's why. I feel the Spirit leading me, but all along the way, I'm going to continue carrying out the task that God's given me to do, and that's to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And this passage that we're dealing with today is one of the most powerful examples of the results of God's grace in people's lives. And it is the one thing, and there's no other. It is the one thing that can bring people together as one, that can really tear down all the hostilities, all of the barriers that stand between us, so that we can genuinely and truly get along together as people, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So this is a powerful look at the results of the grace of God in the lives of people who have been changed by the grace of God. So the passage we're talking about is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, and we're going to go all the way to 22. It says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh. So he's going to give a little description, a little detail about our heritage as Gentiles. And it's not really a pretty picture, is it, Richard?
No, he just kind of lays it out here. I mean, he points out that they're called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hand. So he's admitting that Jews like him hated people like us. We were completely separate from them, and there wasn't a thing we could do about that. So what are we going to do? Well, nothing. It turns out Jesus will do it. But then you get to verse 12 here. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's bad news.
That's bleak.
Yeah.
That is a bleak picture. But that was our heritage as Gentiles. That's what we were like in the world. And then God was doing his work, you know, meeting with Abraham and blessing him and giving him a covenant and saying, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And he had us in mind all of the time.
Yes.
But we were not even on the fringes. We were well outside with no desire to be even close to what God was doing through this group called the Jews.
Yes.
Called the nation of Israel. So we were alienated, strangers to the covenants, having no hope and without God in the world. There's no bleaker position than that.
Yeah.
No hope and without God. So that's what we were. That was our heritage as Gentiles. And God did something. And that's what we see in this next verse, in verse 13. But now in Christ. And there's the story. That's the story of the Bible. We were all dead in transgressions and sins. We were all miserable. We were really all without hope and without God. But now in Christ, that's what God has done for us. He sent Jesus. And in Jesus, all of these bleak conditions and heritages that we had can be resolved, can be corrected, can be changed, and we can be brought together as a singular people of God. So, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
So there's, oh my gosh, what a powerful story. What a powerful statement that we who were without hope, without God, alienated, strangers, separated. Now we have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that can draw us near to the heart of God, is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get near to him. We see that in the law, don't we, Richard? When,
yes.
When the Ten Commandments were given and Moses was up on Mount Sinai, they actually put a boundary at the bottom saying, don't cross. And there was a reason. If you did, you died.
Yes.
There was no way to draw near through obedience to the law. The only way to draw near is by Christ through his shed blood. And so he shed that, and in that there's this invitation to draw near to God, and there's actually this power in the blood that picks us out of our lowly condition and draws us near to the very heart of God himself. It's really powerful, isn't it?
It is, and when you realize what the purpose of the law was, then you stop trying to make it do something that it could never do. It was never designed to bring us closer to God. It was designed to create a people of God who behaved in a certain way, who ruled themselves in a certain way, who took care of their health in a certain way, which was completely different than the world around them. It was never intended to be salvation. It was always intended to point forward to salvation.
Yeah.
And here is where he's describing exactly how Jesus took care of that.
Yes, indeed. Bob?
It's Basic Gospel, friends, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in our study through the book of Ephesians. Please remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We're only here because people like you make it possible by their prayers and gifts, and we invite you, if you have not done so yet, to join them. To make your gift, please click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. We deeply appreciate your part in proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. So I really want you guys to pay attention to this next little section starting in verse 14. In chapter 1, Paul said, I want to step back. I want to pray for you guys. I want the eyes of your heart and your understanding to be enlightened so that you can see the hope and the power that you have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And so we want you to pray that right now as we move through this section, because this is really a critical section in Paul's argument. And what he's trying to communicate to us as the result of God's grace in our lives. So he says in verse 14, for he himself is our peace. So if we're going to have any peace in this world, Jesus Christ is that peace.
Yes.
He is our peace. It's not found out there in the world. It's not found out there through religious activities or dead works or any of those things. It's found through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's why he's our peace, because he has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So he has made Jew and Gentile one as a people of God. And how did he do that? Well, he broke down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So there was a dividing wall that stood between Jew and Gentile. Jew was on one side, Gentile was on the other, and never would the two come together. So what did Jesus do? He tore down that wall of hostility, making it possible for Jew and Gentile to become one people. Now, how did he do that? How did he tear down that dividing wall of hostility? It says by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. So how did he tear down that wall of hostility? What was his method of removing all barriers, all obstacles, so that Jew and Gentile could actually both experience the hope of God, the power of God, the promises of God together? Well, it says that he abolished the law of commandments and ordinances. Now, that's a mouthful. So, Richard, what exactly is Paul saying here? Did he take away the Ten Commandments? Is this what he's referring to? What is he talking about in abolishing the commandments and the ordinances?
So, think about the commandments. Exodus 20, there's the 10 words of God, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. And then throughout the rest of Exodus and into Leviticus and Numbers and then restated again in Deuteronomy, there are all these other regulations and ordinances and sacrifices and the definition of what it means to live under the 10 words. And what Paul is saying here, that Jesus abolished that whole system. He didn't say the system was bad. It served its purpose. Jesus fulfilled the whole system, therefore, or thereby abolishing it in his flesh, because he died the death that the law demanded. So therefore, the law is no longer available to separate Jew from Gentile, or to separate you and me from God himself.
That's exactly right. So why was it a wall of hostility? Why? I mean, God certainly didn't intend it to be a wall of hostility. But how do we use, how did the nation of Israel use that as kind of a hostile barrier? And how did the Gentiles use it in that way?
Well, let's just pick on something that we see all the time, even in the New Testament, food offered to idols. Well, according to the law and the ordinances, Jews would never offer food to idols. They would thank God himself for the food. Well, Gentiles offered everything to idols. So rather than explaining to the Gentiles what it meant to just worship the one true God, the Jews said to the Gentiles, well, I mean, look at that. You're offering your food to idols. You're less than human to us. You're dogs. We will have nothing to do with you. God never called for that. What he called for was a life of love where they would become desirable to the Gentiles around them.
A blessing.
A blessing. And the Gentiles would be interested in joining the covenant community. Now, they'd go through circumcision and the baptisms and all of that, but they were free to join the Jewish covenant community under the Mosaic covenant. Jews started being standoffish instead. Now, of course, the Jews were doing the very same things they were accusing the Gentiles of. The Gentiles saw that and made great fun of it. I mean, why would we follow your God when you're doing the very same things we are? And so instead of having the law be used to draw people together within the context of that covenant, it was used to drive people apart. And Paul was one of the chief drivers in his day.
Yes, he was.
And he came to understand that doing so was absolutely against what God wanted and certainly against what Jesus accomplished.
Now, we see a perfect example of this in the book of Galatians. So Peter, who was the first to deliver the message concerning Jesus to Gentiles and Samaritans, and he witnessed the giving of the Holy Spirit to both of those groups. And when he was in Antioch, he freely ate with the Gentile community and fellowshipped with that community. And then Judaizers from Jerusalem came, and fear crept into him, and he separated himself. And so this fear in this Jewish law, he rebuilt it and became it became this wall of hostility that stood between himself and these Gentile converts, these believers in Christ Jesus. And Paul took them to task on that and said, the gospel is at stake, and we're going to have to retell the story about what Jesus did, the fact that he fulfilled the law through his shed blood, that he tore down that wall of hostility so that Jew and Gentile could enjoy fellowship one with another, that they could both enjoy being at the same table together. And that was God's desire from the very beginning. That's what he wanted from the get-go.
Yes.
So Jesus abolished this law of commandments and ordinances that he might create himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. So that's how Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the bridge from God to man.
Yes.
And he is the bridge from man to man. So if we are out of different backgrounds, different heritages, we have different cultures, different ethnicities, and we're afraid to connect with other people who are different than us, well, Jesus Christ is the bridge that pulls that gap together,
yes.
that enables us to actually experience fellowship one with another. So he goes on and he says, we might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby, and listen to this phrase, killing the hostility. So he reconciles us both into one body, thereby killing the hostility. So there was this wall of hostility, the law of commandments and ordinances, but there was also a hostility in our hearts. Now, what does the reconciling work of Jesus Christ do? It kills hostility.
Yes. Yes.
It enables us to actually function as genuine human beings and truly love one another. I always think about Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount that we're to love our enemies. Now, as far as his audience on that day, he was speaking to Jews. Mm-hmm. He was speaking to people from Israel. Who were their enemies? Gentiles.
Yeah.
Well, the plan of God was to always make Jew and Gentile one in Christ. So you better start learning to love, because one day that person is going to be a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. So let's start this thing early,
yes.
and realize what God's plan is and get on board with God's plan. And when that gospel comes to bear, when that grace of God hits a person's heart, it kills the hostility within.
Yeah.
And as John wrote in his first letter, man, if you're a believer, the love of God just pours out of you. Why? Because the love of God is there. And the reconciling work of Jesus has killed the hostility.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amen right there.
Right there. It is.
That is an amen. We talk about racial tensions and racism and all of these things. There is only one way, one answer, one solution, and that is the grace of God. Only the grace of God can kill the hostility in our hearts and enable us to come together as one.
And notice, the more laws we pass to try to deal with the hostility,
mm-hmm.
the greater the hostility grows.
Yeah.
It has to, because that's what law does.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus. You don't take away the law and leave people in a vacuum. Only Jesus can solve that problem.
Absolutely. Well, friends, it's Basic Gospel, and that's the good news that you hear every day. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for the study session 5 in this Friday series based on the book of Ephesians. And as I mentioned earlier, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, just visit our teaching archive. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching, where you can catch up anytime. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. But again, this is study session 5 and this in-depth look at Ephesians on Basic Gospel. And here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So he kills this hostility that's inside of us, and that's through the reconciling work of God. Mm-hmm. So God reconciled us in Christ by shedding his blood.
Yeah.
And then when we receive that reconciliation, something happens inside of us. That's the new birth.
Yes.
And so that hostility is killed. So now we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So both Jew and Gentile have access to the Father. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So that's true of the Jew. That's true of the Gentile. And so this gospel message just makes that way possible for all people. So I can't look at somebody that was privy to the covenants and all of these things as someone different. He's been granted the same access. He's been granted access by the grace of God, just like I've been granted access by the grace of God. So we're all together as one. So he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So there was this open door for the Gentile world. Welcome. You are invited. Come and take part in this great story of God that is being played out through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we've all become fellow citizens, fellow members of this body of Christ, of this household of God. And we've been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, why is this important? Because both the prophets and the apostles speak in unison about Jesus.
Yes.
They're not at odds with one another. They're not giving two different stories. We have the prophets that tell about the coming Messiah. We have the apostles explaining what Messiah did when he arrived.
Yeah.
And so we have this great foundation that God is building this house upon. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So he's the one that holds it all together. So he's the cornerstone, and it says, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So Paul kind of comes back to this temple motif. Mm-hmm. So there was the Garden of Eden. That was kind of a temple. God's dwelling yes. place was right there, and that's where God and man fellowshiped together. And then sin entered in. And then there was a tabernacle, and God consecrated that, and that was his dwelling place. And then there was the Temple of Solomon. Well, all of those were foreshadowing the true temple. God doesn't live in temples made by hands.
Correct.
He is constructing the temple, and it's made up of you and me. And so together, I mean, individually, we're the temple of God. God has come to live inside of us. But corporately, we are built on this foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, God dwelling within us. And we are all growing up together in unity in him. That's what this gospel message is all about. That is the power of the grace of God. There is no other way for us to stand together as one people of God apart from the reconciling work of Jesus Christ, the one who took two men, two groups, and made them one in Jesus. It's yeah. a powerful reality, isn't it?
It is. And go back and review last week's lesson, because Paul builds this argument in a magnificent way. He starts at the beginning talking about you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and he's talking about the Jews. And then he comes back and says, now you Gentiles, you were dead too. And look what Jesus has done. He's brought us together in the Spirit, one new man.
Alive together in Christ, yes. sharing together the very life of Christ. And when the world looks on, they say, wow, those folks are really the disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Why? Because they're love one for another.
What an exciting study, guys. Thank you. Friends, thanks to you for being with us for today's session and our study in Ephesians. We hope you'll be with us every Friday of the series, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, as I said earlier, you can access the archive anytime at basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder, too, that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift, you're helping Basic Gospel be possible on the air and online every day to proclaim the truth of God's grace. And to help, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, of course, you can use the website basicgospel.net/Canada. Friends, keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for you. If you have a question, something pops into your mind over the weekend, well, just leave us a voicemail anytime at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or email your question to us at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again on Monday after a great weekend. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.